Well, hello and welcome, everybody. This is your host, Ken D. Foster. I just love doing these shows with you, and I hope you're enjoying these shows as much as I enjoy giving them to you. Today, we're going to be talking a little bit about the hero's journey, right? What is that? Well, we're all on a hero's journey in my world. You know, we start out in this ordinary world. We're born into it, you know, and, you know, eventually, you know, as we grow, mature, we're kind of called to the adventure of this world. Some of us embrace that call. Some of us don't embrace that call. And, you know, but eventually we get over our fears, our doubts and uncertainties. And we say, you know what, it's time for us to find the courage that's within all of us. And maybe you're struggling with that right now. Maybe there's a new adventure in your life and you're looking at it. You're going, what is it that I need to do next? Do I need to stretch myself? Do I need to grow? Do I need to evolve? You know, maybe there's somebody you need to, you know, let go of in your life or forgive or move past, right? So that you can start to move past whatever you feel is blocking you or limiting your success, your joy in life, your happiness in life. You know, eventually we all cross a threshold, I would say, in life. Well, we're called to step into our brilliance, step into our joy, step into this power that all of us have within us. You know, within us in this little tiny finger, if you split the atoms in there, you'd have enough power to light up New York. So we all have power within us. And sometimes we forget about that. Sometimes things in life happen. We get frustrated. We get angry. You know, you've been there. You get disempowered by feeling hopeless or feeling like this will never work out for you. Well, I think that some of us, when we get to that place, I'll tell you what I do. I kind of go into my cave. I go in and I tune in and I just still my mind and I relax and I cast aside all my mental burdens. And for me, I allow this presence I call God to permeate every cell in my body. You know, I've been meditating for many, many years. I'm pretty good at that. You know, that force, you know, whatever we call that, universal life, prana, the Akashic records, whatever you call that, right? You know, the power of Jesus or Krishna or Buddha or Allah, whatever that is for you, that power is always there. And all we have to do is tune into it to reignite our hero's journey. So eventually on our journeys, you know, we face a lot of trials, a lot of challenges. But what do? They help us to grow and evolve, right? This universe is built exactly perfect. If you're going down a path that you're feeling a struggle or pain or worry or anxiety or whatever you're feeling, those are warning signs for you to look at a new path, a new way. Every time we look at a new way, we upshift our thinking, we upshift our consciousness, things unfold. And I want to say this. It's so important to understand our history, because the history of our nation, the history of the pilgrims, the Native Americans, the history of the settlers. Our history is very important for us to understand who we are as a people, what our values are, you know, where we messed up and screwed up so we don't make those same mistakes again. So whether it's the history in your family or whether it's the history of the nation or your community, it's important to understand that. In my world, if you start to understand history in a greater and greater way, you understand ourselves. It makes life easier to live. It gives us more compassion, more understanding for those around us. And it really empowers us to be able to step into the next level for ourselves. Today on my show, I have a very special guest. She's written a book that I think will not only inspire you, but help you again understand yourself in a greater way, understand the history of this nation and some of the things that we didn't do right and some of the things we did do right. We can look and see what we've done right, but sometimes we forget what we didn't do right. So we're going to be talking about this and a whole much more. All right, I'm going to take a quick break, and when I come back, I'm going to have my very special guest.
Whether because of discomfort, lack of mobility, your lifestyle, or occupation, you sit inactively way too many hours a day. Introducing Ellipse, the premium quality automatic seated exerciser that strengthens legs, increases mobility, and boosts circulation without physical strain or impact.
It is so quiet that none of my coworkers even know I'm using it.
Strengthen and tone your legs. Increase your mobility, flexibility, and balance. Plus, stimulate healthy circulation.
My joints feel better, my knees feel better, my back feels better. It makes me feel stronger too.
Perfect for home therapy. Whisper quiet to use while you work.
My circulation is moving, I'm burning calories, and it makes me feel energetic.
Call now and order Ellipse, the seated exerciser that strengthens legs, increases mobility, and boosts circulation. Call and get upgraded to the deluxe bundle. Get the faster motor for 5 miles of steps per hour, the step counter, the sport mat, and wireless remote. Call now.
Well, welcome back, everybody. Again, your host, Kendi Foster. Today, my very special guest is Gwen McPhail. Gwen, welcome to the show. It's great to have you.
It's great to be here. Thank you. Greetings from South Carolina.
Well, today we're going to be talking about your book and the journey that that led you to this. For those of you that don't know Gwen, her latest work is an opportunity to reflect on our past and our present, to draw from the well of history and uncover life lessons that resonate more profoundly than ever in today's world. This literary time machine called My Place Among Them guides us through the annals of history and offers invaluable insights on resilience, cultural understanding, and the intricate workings of politics and bureaucracy. Wow. Okay. Well, we are at the right place at the right time to discuss this work. So, Gwen, what inspired you to write this one?
Well, there's a long family story affiliated with the book. My great-grandfather was actually a teacher in the Bureau of Indian Affairs. And he documented a great deal of what he saw over his career in a story about a young man that he met in his teachings beginning at Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. He was afraid, however, to publish his stories because he was in the system. And he was very much afraid that if the word got out that he had written some of these things, that he might lose his job. So he kept the story close to his heart. He documented as many things as he possibly could. And then when he passed away, the manuscript went to my grandmother, who was his daughter. She was a nurse, an in-home care nurse, and I don't think had a whole lot of interest in a book printing at the time. She was married to a man who was actually suffered the results of mustard gas during World War I. She had two children. It was the Depression, so things were not easy. And so when she passed away, the manuscript went to my father. My father, who had heard many, many stories about his grandfather, Ralph, and admired him tremendously. He thought he had done wonderful things. He had inspired my father to be a teacher. He wanted to publish it since it was far enough past Ralph's life that it could not have an impact on the family that way. So he worked at it, but it was written during the Victorian era. The wording is very formal, very difficult to understand in some cases. And over time, the more he worked on it, he struggled with cancer and finally passed away before he was able to finish and submit the book for publication. So he gave it to me and asked me to please make sure that it got done before I passed away. And despite a full-time job, I worked for 31 years as a school teacher and then committed myself to public service when I retired. Spent a great deal of time in public service. But when COVID came along, I couldn't do without doing this anymore. It had always stayed in the back of my mind that it should be done. And I didn't have an excuse anymore.
So I began writing again, and that's how the book was published.
I love it. My Place Among Them. I know it delves into the historical events, as you just mentioned, and the impact. You know, how does this impact on the present? Let's talk about that. You know, what I said in the monologue, we really need to understand our history so that we can understand our present, right? So how would you relate the two right now?
Well, I think it's very interesting that right now there is a battle across America about education. The education system in America, public education, private education, what is the best way to go? Where's the money to be spent? And I think that it's very important for parents to understand that when your children, if you turn your children over to an entity, whether it's church related, whether it's a public school, even if you do it at home, you must be aware that everything that you do impacts your children profoundly for their future. And that was that is the story of the Native Americans, the indigenous people of America. And it's certainly relevant today as we decide what to do.
Well, it's so relevant. And, you know, I have three daughters, two of them homeschool their children. And so they can, they're pretty much in control of the values that are imprinted on those little children's minds. But I think what you said is very true. You know, with people today, we've relied so much on the schools instead of relying on the family like we used to for education that, people are surprised. Wow, my kid comes home. They don't have the same values as I do. Well, right? I mean, you turn them over to an institution. You might want to know what the values of that institution are before you turn them over to that. That organization,
and especially for younger and younger children to be enrolled in the school programs,
100%. And I don't know. You know, if schools, maybe you can enlighten me. Do schools have somewhere where they list out their values? They list out what they're going the curriculum that they're going to be teaching these children. K through eight, I think I think that's really important, just as it is even in the higher grades.
It is. And there's always the public listing of the basics. You know, what do you cover in first grade? What do you cover in second grade? What do you cover in third grade? But there's no way to know what an individual teacher's core values are unless you spend time in the classroom talking with that teacher, talking with your child about what they did in class, asking questions, spending time delving into how are they feeling, what are they expressing after a day of lessons. If you don't do that, you don't know what is happening.
You don't know. There's two questions that I've used for the last 30 years to hire my teams. And the two questions are this, what about success, right? And you could ask it, what about success in the classroom, Miss Teacher, is important to you? And the other question I ask is, what about life is important to you? Why? Because I want to know their values. I want, and it doesn't mean I won't hire somebody if they don't have the right values. But if you listen to somebody's values by asking those two questions, you can start to get a real good feel of what they value and what they value for your child in the classroom. I think we need to, take more. Here's the thing, in Idaho, I have a state senator up there. His name is a former state senator. His name is Stephen Thane. And Stephen has been in the education, pushing bills for education up in Idaho for the last two decades. And he just got one through where the children in high school each get a grant. I think it's $4,000 or $5,000, based on some performance they can do. But that's for every kid in the state. Now they're passing. They just passed a bill up there that they're, I think it's 5,000. That if you're homeschooling your children or what have you, they're going to give you, money to the parents, not to the schools. They're going to give it to the parents, so the parents are empowered, and that's what they're trying to do: put core values back into the, or support the core values of the parents to teach their children.
Yeah, that argument has gone on quite a while here in South Carolina. They call them school vouchers. They want to be able to pay the parents who don't want their children in the public schools the equivalent of what would be spent on that child in public school. But there's a tremendous pushback against it. So it's it's done in some counties. A lot of it depends on the budget. A lot of it depends on how much interest is in the parents, because in this fast-paced world where money is in demand, so many parents, both of them work away from home. And so to an extent, the schools have become a babysitter, a service that they provide that they don't have to worry about where their children are going to be after a certain age. They know they're going to be in school. They know the parents won't have to worry about caregivers or won't have to stay at home with them. And if they need both incomes in the school or if they're single parents, they don't have that choice to be homeschoolers, to instill their own values. So they have to trust the public education system. And in a lot of cases, perhaps that's been misplaced.
Well, you know, and I don't want to vilify the public education system. There are good, you know, there are good schools out there. There are really good teachers out there. And, you know, I think what we're talking about is more choice. You know, you can homeschool, you could charter school, you can enroll them in a private school, you can enroll them in a public school. And I think when that money comes in, then you're empowered to make different choices for your children. And I think that's what we're talking about, choice. So, you know, and of course there'll be pushback, you know, school districts, teachers, unions, and what have you are very powerful lobbies and they don't want change. They don't want change. They don't want to teach the same old curriculum. The challenge with today's society though, is that especially with AI coming in, you know, I could ask ChatGPT or Grok or any of them, you know, give me a, you know, tell me the mathematical equation behind Einstein's theory of relativity, and it'll give it to me, right? Or tell me what's 1 times 5, right? So math, of course, is a language, but you know, the children, you know, what is the value of math and science or what have you in those classrooms? I think that's being questioned too. How it's taught. I'm not talking about get rid of it, but how it's taught is definitely changing.
Well, and there's so much content now that to ask children, when I was coming through the public school system, you memorize your multiplication tables, you memorize certain dates that were important in American history. And those were if you could memorize those things, then you were considered very successful in school. Today, with access to so much information at their fingertips, children need more to know, not memorize dates and details, but to know how to use those dates and details, and then how to apply their values to get where they want to be in life using that information.
You make a really good point. And I got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to tie in the new book with the, you know, some of the significant life lessons and teachings that the readers can walk away with. Because I believe that your book really supports what we're talking about here. So we'll be right back and further our discussion.
Imagine this is your money and someone wants to take it from you. Who is it? The IRS. Guess what? They want your money and they can take it, all of it if they want. Remember, they sent you that letter right over here that said, hey, you owe us a bunch of cash and we're going to take it from you right now. So what do? You fight back by letting our team of experts work it out with the IRS so you can keep your money. And hey, we're good at what we do. When you hire us, you get a team of guys on your side that know the IRS laws, and we'll fight really hard to save your money. So if you owe the IRS a ton of cash and you want to keep it, call right now and learn for free how we can help you put it back in your pocket. 5 minutes of your time right now can save you thousands of dollars. And the best part, it's a free call. So please call right now.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Foster. I want to let you know that if you would like to never miss a show, or more importantly, be able to pass these shows on to your family and friends, go ahead and subscribe to our YouTube channel. That'll help you to be able to do that. So we hope you'll subscribe there on our YouTube channel. All right, back to my guests. Gwen. Okay. You know, by the way, I really love what you had to say about, you know, it's not so much about memorization anymore, but it's about learning how to use the tools, the information, and what we have available. That's a big shift in the educational system. for a teacher that has a CLUG, a curriculum that says, this is the way I've done it for the last 10 years or, you know, or whatever. And then all of a sudden be going, well, all right, wait a second. We have to tailor this more to our individual children and how they learn, because one size does not fit all in an educational system or any child. That's a big challenge. You know, I'm wondering how we get over that.
Well, the other part of that that is a challenge is that because money, sometimes when people are being taxed to provide money for public, say, public education, then they want to see their results. And it's difficult. An easy way to show results would be to simply show test scores and say, oh, look, these children scored 99 percentile or 90 percentile. And that implies that there's great success from those students. But that's not necessarily true, because tests can only detect a certain amount of knowledge. They cannot necessarily detect critical thinking skills or the ability to judge, for example, propaganda from truth or fact from story. So it's very hard to justify expenses if you can't. It's very hard to ask for money if you can't justify where the money's being spent. And that's another part of the public education's dilemma. How do we say that we're successful in ways other than test scores?
Well, I think the first place we start is looking at the school systems in Norway or China or some of the other places around the world that are now being rated as the top systems. So I think we start there and see, you know, what, you know, we can model success. You know, they, in the past, you know, a lot of countries model success around the U.S. Well, what's wrong with us going out and starting to model success from these other organizations, other countries out in the world? What do you say to that?
Well, it's good as long as you study all of the parts of the school. I used to talk with my students that they should be very, very thankful. In Japan, children are very successful in math classes, but they're also expected to be at their school every morning to start to make sure that the classrooms are warm and that they're also clean. They are assigned custodial duties to make sure that their classrooms are clean each day. So you have to make sure that you're not just looking at what are they teaching, but how are they teaching everything, not just the content material for each course.
Well, I love that. Yeah, I love that. And boy, that would have given me, you know, if they'd asked me to clean up the classroom, it would get me more sense of responsibility maybe as a kid, or maybe a service to everyone in the classroom. So you're right. There's a lot of little pieces that we could add there. And I think, you know, there we can get a lot of, you know, we've learned and grown through history, because I want to get back to your book. And, you know, your book dives into historical events that we went through and we learned, right? Hopefully we learned. How do you apply, you know, specific teachings that the readers might walk away with as they read your book and apply it today?
Well, it goes back to values, because basically what the American Indian Education Program was designed to do was to remove the culture of the indigenous people of America. They wanted to make the indigenous people into individuals who would fit into the society of the new people who were running the country. Basically white people who were building cities, building businesses, looking for industry. And the indigenous people did not want to give up their lifestyle and their cultures. So the education system was geared specifically to take the children out of the old culture and immerse them in the new culture, so that when they were old enough to take a job, say, then they were looking at the jobs that the white society valued over living the lifestyle that the indigenous people had always lived. So we have to make sure that we are aware of when you take the children and take their parents' influence and their grandparents' influence away from them, where are they going to be in the future as far as how are they going to stand on certain issues that are important in society?
Well,
are they going to value
it? The reason Native American culture has survived in spite of the the government taking away their choices as to how to educate their children, taking away their choices as to where they can live, taking away their choices as where they can work. In spite of all that, the cultures have survived because of values, because of the value that the Native Americans have. In fact, you know, our society hopefully someday will really learn from the values of the Native Americans, especially when it comes to the environment and understanding we're all connected here, understanding that life is precious, everything is alive. You know, we could take a lot of the Native American wisdom and start to insert it into our lives. So what we're talking about, though, and I love the analogy, is that, you know, and this is where the pushback, I think, educational system is. We're talking about choice versus maybe curriculum or old ways of doing it today. There's another big piece, right? It's keeping the values of the country, keeping the values of families that are successful and cultures that are successful within teaching our children those values, plus giving them more choice. That's how I see it.
Yes, I think I would certainly agree with the fact that they must, parents cannot turn loose their children with people that might be completely different from them. They have to continue to teach their values and choose that their children get the education and the values that they value, that in the values that they believe in.
Yeah. Okay. I think we're on the same page there. So the book talks about resilience in overcoming great challenges in the face of adversity. There's lessons in that. How do you let's give some analogies of what you got in the book as to what we're going through today. Can you do that?
Well, for many personally, I know that one of the activities that I value the greatest in life always has been taking up a private time. You talked about it at the beginning of your show, turning into yourself, reflecting on what it is that you value, what it is that you are seeking, and finding those strengths that you know that are deep inside. And sometimes you're so busy being distracted by society and all the distractions in the world around us today, you lose those. And then you lose your traction, you lose your footing to be who you want to be. And you have to go off either mentally or, for me, it's actually physically. I need to remove myself from those things so that I've got that quiet time to seek out what it is in me that will get me through this hard time.
Yeah.
And if we don't teach our children to do that, then they will never have that ability to rescue themselves from bad situations.
No, they won't. Excuse me. And I got to take a quick break. We come back. I want to talk about the importance of teaching our children how to question and ask the right questions, because I think there's a piece there with that. So we'll take a quick break, and when we come back, I'd like to address that with you. All right.
Hi, everyone watching at home. We're here to remind you that if you or someone you know were injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have live agents available right now to answer your questions and tell you how much your case is potentially worth. Hi, I'm Gina Belich, here with spokesman and TV personality Tom Mustin with us in the Help Center. So, Tom, phones are really busy over there. Tell us what kind of calls you're seeing.
Well, Gina, first off, thank you for having me here in the call center with you. We always enjoy talking to the viewers and getting folks the compensation that they deserve. You know, we're seeing calls about all kinds of accidents, but the most common by far has been car accidents. So if you or someone you know were injured in an accident that was not your fault, give us a call right now. You'll speak with a live person. They'll answer any questions you have and tell you if you have a case and how much your case is potentially worth.
Thanks, Tom. All right, folks at home, you heard it. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Kendi Fuster. I'm talking with Glenn MacPhail. Her new book is My Place Among Them. And you can get that book where, Glenn?
Amazon is the quickest place, although I do always encourage people to seek out their local bookstores and ask them to order it if possible. We love local businesses, but Amazon is quick and it's very easy to find. Just type in my place among them and it comes up.
That's easy.
Very quickly. It's also on Audible.
That's easy. I got to get this book. I mean, I love American history. I love, to understand about the Native American culture. And I love the fact that we're talking about how it applies to today. I do want to touch on the question piece. It's kind of near and dear to my heart. I wrote a book years ago called Ask and You Will Succeed. And the reason I wrote that book is because I'd realized that when I finally shifted and learned how to think in college, it took me to college to let go of all the programming, then it was really professors that taught me how to ask and ask different questions and keep asking. How valuable is that in our school system today? Are we teaching how to question everything for the kids, or how to use the mind is really what I'm talking about here.
Well, from my experience, again, 31 years in the public school system, I would say in my lifetime of teaching, I met some wonderful teachers who were excellent at that very thing. I had some teachers. My 10th grade English teacher, literature teacher, was phenomenal at challenging us to read things that were difficult to understand and come back and talk about what we saw versus what maybe the girl who sat two rows over from me, who perhaps had a different culture in her lifetime. How did we see the things in the books or poetry different? I think that it's very important for parents to be involved in their children's education, even if they're in the public school, especially if they're in the public schools, because you don't know the teachers personally. You might not know what they're teaching your children, and it's very easy. Human nature tends to take the easiest way to get things done sometimes. And when you have children, perhaps you have your own children at home that you're struggling with, and then you come to school and you're trying to deal with a classroom of 25 or 30 of other people's children who each have their own burdens to bear. You may not always be able to ask, take the time to come up with a question that would create a thought process in all of those children. It's difficult. And I put that then back on to the people who are over the teachers, the administrators, the school boards, to make sure that teachers also have that time to reflect, that they also have quiet time during the day to think through what it is. How do they question? Where did perhaps they let a child down? Maybe did not take the time to help them grow from a bad experience in their classroom. I know the years that I had time like that, it was so valuable to me. But there were years when I didn't have those times. I was asked to cover somebody else's class or go do duty or go out to watch the buses, whatever it was. And at those times, sometimes I would go home and I'd be just exhausted because I had not had time to recuperate from the stresses of teaching during that time, during the day.
And, it's interesting because, this is our life. This is everybody's life. If you're working at the school, why would we want to design, the teaching experience in a stressful, push, let's follow the old way. And this is the curriculum we have. And now we need to get this. You got to get this grade, Johnny or Jane. And if you don't get this, you're not as smart as everybody else. It's kind of insane. And I think, bureaucracy and politics does play a big role in this. And I guess I'd like to know your take back to the book. What do you hope readers will insights they'll get from reading the book to be able to apply in today's world?
Well, I think one of the things that I learned that I simply never thought about from history, I knew about Thanksgiving. I knew about, how the Native Americans taught us the three sisters in gardening. But I never thought about the fact that, for example, in one of the schools where my great-grandfather ended up, it was very clear to him that there were some people there who were simply in the classroom because it was the first step to another job. it wasn't that they wanted to teach. It was just that they got their foot in the door then, and they hoped to be advanced to be a superintendent in a school, and then perhaps even one of the higher level politicians or bureaucrats to return back to Washington and make more money and have more influence. It was very interesting to me to read about how my great grandfather dealt with that. It was difficult for him because he was struggling to do what he believed in, and that was to teach the young Native Americans how to get out in the world and survive and make good decisions. And yet he saw around him people being promoted over him because they were much more committed to climbing the ladder than they were to teaching the children. And again, I think that goes back to the parents simply have to stay involved. You are blessed if you can homeschool your children, or if you're able to put them into a charter school where there's very few, there's smaller class sizes, et cetera. But if your children, if you're in the life that pretty much public school is mandated by your own personal situation, then the most important thing you can do is stay involved in your children's education and spend time in your children's classrooms.
Well, I'm a grandfather of 12 wonderful children, and I'm wondering how, you know, the grandparents can get involved in this. What, do you have any insights on that?
Well, from my own personal experience, I know that there were grandparents who came into our middle school who would read to the children. And they would, you know, particularly if children were having problems reading, or perhaps they had made up their mind because reading was difficult, they didn't want to read. And we had grandparents who would come in. Number one, they spent time in the library, so they know what books were available. And then they would pull those children out and give them private time and read to them and help them, you know, find out how much fun it was to read, find out what you could learn by reading. And I saw a lot of benefit from that. I think that grandparents volunteering in the school is wonderful because you know a lifetime of things that those teachers don't have time to teach.
Well, my saying is this: we don't need any more information. If you need it, use AI or Google it. What we need is wisdom, and grandparents do have wisdom. And I, you know, if you're a grandparent out there today and you've just, you know, you thinking about what's the next step for you, you're thinking about retiring right now. So many people come to me and they talk about they're going to retire. They don't know what they're going to do. Or they'll say, oh, I'm just going to do nothing. Well, nothing works for maybe 6 months to a year. But after that, it's like, what can we do? And from my world, it's about being of service. You know, life is chiefly service. And quite frankly, when you're in service, especially the children, you have more joy and happiness in your life than you probably ever imagined. So I really hope these words touch somebody out there to make a change. You know, in My Place Among Them, your new book, it highlights the importance of cultural understanding. I think that message is really powerful for today's world. What are your thoughts around that?
Well, I think that the most important takeaway from that is we can't judge others because we don't know their culture or because their culture is different than ours. It doesn't make it less than our own if it's different. It just makes it different. And we need to at least be willing to understand and listen to the values of other cultures, so that we don't judge and cut them off, because there's value from them for them too, for all of our children. There's like you said, there are cultural values from the indigenous people about not destroying the land, not damaging the land, that we could all learn from, certainly. And that is something that if you don't understand it or accept it, you're shutting out something that's of great value to you and your children.
The title of the book, we're putting the book on the screen right now for my listening audience, My Place Among Them. You can get that on Amazon. My Place Among the World, Among Them. You know, it's like it's been, you know, the culture last decade was all about me.com culture. But now we're shifting. We're realizing more and more. If we don't pay attention to, you know, how what I do impacts you and what you do impacts me, and we're all one on this planet, we don't get that, it's not going to be good for us in the long run.
That's right.
You know, My Place Among Them. Now, where'd you come up with that title? Because I love it.
Well, it was the original title of my great grandfather's manuscript was John Ironhorse, but in telling his story along with John's story, I realized that both of them, John was seeking his place in white society, whereas Ralph, the author, the teacher, was realizing the values of another society and trying to find his place amongst that bureaucracy without sacrificing his personal values. So each of them were looking for their place. Where would they be happy in a world that was different than what they grew up in?
I love that. All right, listen, I got to take a quick break. When we come back, I want to talk about some final thoughts and the impact that you hope this book will have with my listening audience and those that are being touched by this today.
Hi, folks. Joe Namath here. Did you know that I wear hearing aids? I love my hearing aids, and I am here to help you get a deal on the same brand I wear.
Don't waste thousands on expensive hearing aids when you can get MD Hearing's revolutionary Neo hearing aids for just $297 a pair. The Neo is a true hearing aid, not an amplifier. With rechargeable technology many customers say is superior to more expensive models. And you can get two Neo hearing aids with a 45-day risk-free trial, free shipping, and free lifetime U.S.-based support for only $297. The Neo is nearly invisible with its tiny in-the-ear canal design.
Call my friends at MD Hearing and get the over-the-counter hearing aids that I use for you.
Call now and get not one, but two Neo hearing aids for just $297.
800-789-7885. Again, that's 800-789-7885.
Well, welcome back, everybody. This is Kendi Foster. I'll be right back with my guest, Gwen McPhail. And I just want to remind you to go to our YouTube channel and subscribe there. You can then share our show with the people that you love and care for. And of course, you won't miss any other shows. So that's pretty cool. All right. Gwen, some kind of final thoughts. What's the impact you hope my place among them will have on the readers?
Well, for those that perhaps don't appreciate indigenous culture or who feel like, well, that's too bad they were conquered, they suffer what they suffer, I hope that they will see the individuals in the indigenous community in the stories as humans, as people who suffered traumas, who lost family members, who struggled in life just like we all do. For those people who already have a little bit they find value in the indigenous people, I hope that they simply learn a detail from history, perhaps that they didn't know before. A lot of people don't realize that they think that the Indian education system should have been all benefits, all wonderful. They were given an education. Why couldn't they do better in life? They need to look back and see. I hope that they will learn what the indigenous people lost in the process of getting that education and why perhaps they struggled to move forward. And it would also be good for the society that created the Indian education system as a way of eradicating a culture. We'll look back and see that it was a mistake, that perhaps there were better ways to do what they did, or at least not repeat that in the future, and make policy that values cultures and individual people, even if they're slightly different from ourselves.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think that the embracing our cultures is so important, because when we can embrace each culture that we have, especially in this nation around the world, it gets rid of the hatred. It gets rid of the misunderstanding. It gets rid of that I'm white and you're brown. I'm smart and you're dumb. I'm this and you're it. We start to level that field and understand that all of us are connected together, and that we're all one. If we really want to thrive in our nation, thrive in our world, we have to let go of some of the old myths of the past, and we have to learn from the past. That's really what Gwen is talking about. Learn from the past. But if you don't know the past, how do you learn from the past? That's why Kipling's books is so important. I'm so glad you've come on my show. Final thoughts from you, Gwen, to the audience. Any final thoughts for them?
Well, I hope you've got enough interest to purchase the book. If you've read it and enjoy it, please pass it on. Share it with other people. And I hope that everybody can learn to value each other and move forward in society so that we end up with a better world than we had before.
Yeah. And get involved in your schools, get involved with your children, get involved with understanding that there is choice today. You know, empower your legislatures out there that are helping to empower parents and families, you know, help those bills get passed. I think that gives all of us more choice, and we need it. If this country's going to change, if it's going to be great again, we need to step we need to start at the very basics, which is our education of our children. And quite frankly, you know, if we believe that, you know, we're 40 out of the, you know, number 40 out of the top 40, and we spend more per pupil in this country than any other nation, if that's accurate, I believe it's accurate, then, you know, we got a long way to go, and but we can do it. We can do it if we get together and we start, you know, question the bureaucracy, question how, you know, your children are being taught, get involved in the schools. If you'll do that, I believe we can all change as a nation for the better. Gwen, I appreciate you being here. Thank you so much, and much success to you in all you do.
Thanks for having me on.
For all of you, I want to thank you for listening. You know, my motto here is to, you know, see the unseeable, know the unknowable, and you'll be able to do the impossible. But first, you have to see the unseeable. And the way you do that is you let go of resistance to open up to receive new information, question everything, use your critical thinking, align with your values, and let go of anything that might be disempowering you.